By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we needn't think that we can save ourselves. There's not one of us that's able to take one step in the right way unless that God lead us by the hand. Hold thou me up.
Greetings. My name is Jeremy Kerr. This is the second part from an old 1958 recording of a worship service held by the Reformed Presbyterian Church in North Union, Butler County, Pennsylvania. The voice you just heard was that of T. James Blair, who was minister to the congregation for many years before his death in 1960. For more information about Mr. Blair, please take the time to listen to the first part of this recording, which includes his exposition of Psalm 73. He was the last minister associated with the Reformed Presbytery, which was constituted in 1840, in an effort to organize faithful Reformed Presbyterians in a united, consistent witness for the principles and practices of the covenanted Reformation. For more information about the Reformed Presbyterian Church thus organized, the listener is referred to various printed publications available on the Internet, such as A Call to Repentance, addressed to the larger Synod of Reformed Presbyterians in 1876. Also, A Statement of Our Reasons for Maintaining Our Separate Standing, published in 1888. And lastly, a more thorough item titled Steps of Defection, published in 1913. For now, we proceed with a lecture from Mr. Blair on the Book of Revelation, Chapter 4.
The lecture on the fourth chapter of Revelation, from the beginning. Revelation, fourth chapter, from the first verse. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast as a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. This fourth chapter brings the first of Revelation, And it's the greater part of Revelation. It's from this fourth chapter to the end of the 22nd chapter. So that there's a great deal to be seen and known of this. And it's something that requires great study for us to know what we are to do. This revelation is interspersed with the figures of speech, and every written and spoken tongue is the same. There is some figures of speech in it. So there's much in the revelation. So that there are some things in it dark and hard to be understood. But there's it's emphatically called by Jesus Christ a revelation. It's a revelation, although there are things hard to be understood. A door was opened in heaven. Now, heaven here isn't the heaven that we think of. It's a figure of speech or that shows that the symbolical of the reigning of the sons of men. It's a people in the earth, and they have a God ruling over them, as it were. It's an organized society with God reigning over them. And I heard was it, as it were, of a trumpet. That was a loud voice, but it's the voice of Christ. He called to John, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." He is the one that shows the word to the sons of men. And John must be in the Spirit. He couldn't see these things when he was in his right senses here, but he was, as it were, as this world, or out of the sense of this world. Peter, when he was in house of Simon by the seaside, he went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he fell into a trance. He was out of the spirit, as it were, out of the of his mind, the natural thing, and he saw a great thing let down from heaven, full of beasts of the earth and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And he said, "Rise, Peter, slay and eat." "Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath entered into my mouth." That was done three times, and then it was received up again into heaven. So John must be in a trance, as it were, for to understand these things. He must be, as it were, out of the common sense of things here. We know that those that are of the saints that are dead, that their spirits are alive and sensible in heaven, so that they are in the spirit, and so John must be in the spirit. He must, as it were, be in a trance before he could see these things. And immediately I was in the spirit. He was, as it were, transferred immediately from his natural mind to the spiritual. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He had a sight of a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. That was the Father. The God the Father sat on the throne, for we see him in farther on in the book of Revelation, where he's clearly distinguished from the Son, for the Son was there shown as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But the Father is, as it were, the transferring the majesty of the Godhead, or upholding the majesty of the Godhead. The three persons, for there's none that can know God but those that and John couldn't describe him. He couldn't describe what this person on the throne was like, only by comparison. He was like a jasper and a sardine stone. But he upheld the majesty of the Godhead, the three persons, for there's none that of the three persons that work alone. They're all together. All are worked by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So that the Father upheld the majesty of the Godhead, as it were, here. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne. The rainbow was a covenant made with Noah right after the flood. God said he would set his bow in the cloud, and he would never bring a flood on the earth again. The rainbow was a token of that covenant, and it was round about the throne, showing that God in the judgment remembers mercy. The rainbow was in sight like to an emerald, or so that it was typical or signified God's remembering mercy to his people. It was a token of a covenant, and that covenant was everlasting. It's that covenant is today shown. We often see a rainbow in the heaven after a shower, and that is a token of God's covenant with his people. Rainbow likened to an emerald. So it's most pleasing to God's people that he remembers the covenant with them, and that if they walk in the way of his commandments, that they will have the blessing from him. And round about the throne were 24 seats. He saw these 24 seats. Where John would see, there was round about the throne, there was a segment of the circle, part of a circle, and on these 24 seats sat 24 elders. Elders are the children of God. The elders of all of us, there's always been elders in the church, and they are his servants. They are the servants of God. But these elders were those that were, they're sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. They were justified and sanctified. They were like the children of God. They had all from him. They were clothed in white raiment that showed their how spotless they were, and how they were justified and sanctified, and they had crowns on their heads, and they had crowns because they were to reign with God throughout eternity, and they cast their crowns before the throne. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. They were thunderings and lightnings and thunderings and voices. That was somewhat of the glory of God that appeared at Mount Sinai when he gave the law to the children of Israel under the hand of Moses. And Moses said of it, "I exceedingly fear and quake." So all may well fear and quake before God. They all are all is from him. There are seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. Those are the seven spirits of God. God, it is signified by the candlestick in the temple. There was three joints out of three burners out of each side, and one in the middle made the seven. Seven spirits of God. That is, they signified this. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. That is another the thing that's taken from the ceremonial law. For part of these things are taken from the ceremonial law and part from the works of creation. For the ceremonial law had, there was a, in the temple, there was a sea of glass, the sea in which they washed the sacrifices. in which they wash the sacrifices, in which the priest must wash. The priest must wash in the before they offered sacrifice to God. So there's none unless they are washed by that God will accept. For we are told of Abel that Abel was first accepted and then his offering. He was accepted because he had been washed in the blood of Christ. And unless we are washed in the fountain of his blood, we needn't think that we will be accepted. So here we see the elders were all accepted. And a sea of glass like unto crystal. It was just a, as it were, a representation of the sea in which the priests washed and which the victims were washed. All the victims that they sacrificed must be washed before they were offered. Only the sin offering that was taken out and burnt. But all the offerings that were offered to God must be washed in the brazen sea. And the priest must wash. No priest could do service to God except they were washed first and then put on their garments. So none of us can come to God only by putting on the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must be washed from our sins by his blood, if ever have we come to him. And this sea of glass, all must wash in it. All, it typified the blood of Christ, and all must wash in it. So that there were none but what must be washed unless they were not chosen of God. All those that he chose, he washed. There was none accepted by God, only, as we said, like Abel, he was first accepted and then his offering was accepted. If we're not accepted, we may offer hundreds of offerings, thousands of offerings, but unless that we are accepted, unless we are fitted to come before God, we needn't expect anything from him. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Four beasts. Now the these are as the one says, they should be denominated living creatures, these four beasts. And what do they represent? There, some said they represented the three persons of the Godhead, and others tried to prove that they represented holy angels. But these beasts were worshipers. They weren't those that were to be worshipped. They were worshipers. As we see, they fall down and worship before the throne. So it represents a gospel ministry, a ministry that is spoken by God, that is, he has appointed. And there's four Some say they're represented by Ezekiel's four things, worshippers. But Ezekiel's had four faces, but these had only one face. One face. Before and behind. And they were full of eyes. And they showed that they were spiritual, that there were eyes that they must see what God required. The first beast was like a lion. We're told of the lion is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. So these beasts represent a gospel ministry. And we might say that this feature of the lion, or strength of the lion, was shown by Luther in continental Europe and Knox in insular Europe. They had great opposition, but they encountered, they weren't put down by any opposition that was against them. See how Luther stood up before kings and archbishops and all the power of the state and the church. And how Knox stood up in Scotland. It said that Queen Mary was more afraid of Knox than she was of a regiment of soldiers. He wasn't afraid to reprove her. He wasn't afraid, nor was Luther afraid to say what he believed. And they were, we might say, like lions. And the second beast, like a calf. A calf is a harmless thing, and it signified the patience that these ones must have. They must have patience to bear, and there's nothing that's more trying than to be patient with those with whom we associate, or those that to whom we give directions. We must have patience with them. The third beast had a face of a man. We must discriminate and know what God requires. A man must be of a discriminating mind. There are so many errors through the world that we mustn't be afraid to say what is right and what is wrong. That though there's so many errors that are not right, so many that where none of the errors are right, but there's so many things that are erroneous, so that we need to discriminate between the things that are spoken and what God requires. And we are commanded to take heed to what thou hast received, the ministry that thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Archippus was told by Timothy, or by Paul through Timothy. So we need to discriminate not among things, but among the things of God. There's not the chance now to discriminate that there was many times, but there's now. And there was the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. They had the wings as were on their heads, on their neck, tops of them, and they must work with alacrity, and they mustn't be afraid to go forth. And they were four in number, that they were to go into the four parts of the earth. These beasts, the ministry was to go through all the earth. That's what Christ gave them in commission when he went to heaven. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How often have his faithful servants have been cut down because they dared to speak what he had spoken, given them to speak. So it will be very diligent and work with alacrity and skill. The same thing is what God requires. He requires that we walk in the way of his commandments. As he was set on the throne, so he upholds the majesty of the Godhead and requires that those that belong to him must not be afraid, but be diligent and with the wings, like the wings of an eagle. The eagle flies swiftly from place to place. So we see how God's ministers, how they go from place to place. We didn't expect these qualities in any one of the four beasts, that is, all of them. But Paul, the apostle, had them in a large measure. He was like a lion in speaking what God required. He had patience. He had great patience to work with the sons of men, going from place to place. And exhorting the elders, he went to Miletus and called for the elders of the church, and gave the directions to them, what they were required to do, and what they might expect. He said, "They were he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully," God says. And Paul told them that also of your own selves shall some arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. They must take heed to overseeing the church and keeping it in the right way. And they are full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," which was and is to come. They were like the seraphim around the throne. They cried and It is the same with the Father. The Father sustaining the majesty of the Godhead, the three persons. He was set on the throne. And Isaiah saw him in the very same position, set on the throne. And he saw him, the seraphim, crying, "Holy, holy, holy," before him. And he sat on the throne, and his train filled the temple. So that Isaiah was ready to cry, "I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." So the Father and the Son are sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. And we know that this one we've been speaking of is the Father. And we know that this one that Isaiah saw was the Son. For we are told in John, "These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him." So the Father and the Son are, as it were, alike, only that the Father is, as it were, the fountain of authority. And the Son is next unto him. For he is the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person. So that he is, as it were, one with the Father. And the Holy Spirit, there are the seven lamps of fire, are burning before the throne. It's the seven spirits of God. So all three persons are work in harmony in all that they do. Christ says, "The Father worketh hitherto, and I work." And the Spirit works. The Spirit testifies. For we see that in the work of creation, the Spirit, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all worked in creation. So that we need to see that we have respect to what God has commanded us. He has commanded us to walk in the way of his commandments. And he has given us many things to think about. We have material things to think of. We have the sun and the moon and the stars. We have the mountains and the valleys. We have the earth and the sea. And we cast these things, these material things, into, as it were, things that we should look to and cast them into groups, as the solar group, the solar system, the animal or the vegetable kingdom, so that all have their place. And when we speak of these things, we usually speak of what part of the system it is. And so it is in spiritual things. As we take these things that have been systematized and cast them into spiritual things, moral and spiritual things, then we look on what God has spoken concerning these things, and we see what relation this one part of the system bears to another, just as it is in spiritual and natural things. So we can know how to work in this the spiritual things. For Christ Jesus is the one that makes all things to work together for good. He and as he said that the Father worketh hitherto, and I work, and the Spirit works. So we must see what relation this there is between what the spiritual things that God hath showed us, and what relation they bear to any one part of the system. And then we may know what God requires. We can speak of the Scripture because our Savior says that the Father worketh hitherto, and I work. That we may know what work we are required, and what we are to look to. And our Lord Jesus Christ judgeth all things. And he says things that must be hereafter. Why must they be? Because God has decreed it that such things will come to pass. And so we must know what he requires and what is to come to pass. We may judge by what he has written in his word and by what belongs to his word, that he works all things according to the counsel of his own will. He works all according to the counsel of his own will, and that is why they must be hereafter. He has decreed them so to come to pass, and the book of his decrees is shown in this revelation, this book of Revelation. And we need to especially know what God requires of us, that we may see the necessity of walking in the way of his commandments. For only those that walk in the way of his commandments will receive honor from him. And none of us can walk. We can't take one step except that God give us grace so to do. There's not one of us that's able to take one step in the right way unless that God lead us by the hand. Hold thou me up. He takes his people by the hand, as it were, and leads them forth. And he has set before them many things to do. We don't need to be idle, for he don't give anything for idle hands to do. We're to see that we have work to do. Elijah wished for himself that he might die. God, take away my life. And the angel prepared him food, and he arose and did eat and drink and lay down again. The angel came the second time and called him up to eat and to drink. He says, because the journey is too great for thee, unless that we have food given us from God, unless we have grace. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we needn't think that we can save ourselves by any good that we do. We may be very zealous in the way of his commandments, as we said of some, that they were zealous in the way in which they walked, but they were not walking in the right way. The way to life, as we said, is straight and narrow. They say the disciples asked our Savior, are there few that be saved? And he said, strive, literally agonize, to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, shall strive to enter in, and shall not be able. But how broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And though our Savior only had the 12 disciples, there was one that was a sinner, one that was not a sinner, one that was a devil. He had wanted to crucify the Savior. He wanted to sell him. He sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And he then repented. But he brought the 30 pieces of silver and cast them down the temple. He said, I have betrayed unto thee innocent blood. He cast him down in the temple and went and hanged himself. And as they said, they say, falling asunder, his bowels burst out. We may see others about us seemingly outstripping us in doing good in the earth, seeming to do good in the earth. But how we should seek for more grace. He says, ask and ye shall receive. God will give us grace if we ask for it. But we must ask with a right heart. We must ask knowing how unworthy we are to receive. We can't receive unless that God gives it to us. And we can't receive unless the heart is made right. The heart must first be made right, and then he will accept the offering. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, how mindful thou hast been of us unworthy sinners, and how good thou hast dealt with us day by day and day after day. For we all sin and come short of thy most holy law. But we know that thou hast the blood wherewith to wash away sin. Thou hast given one to shed his blood for sinners such as we are. Unless that we believe, he that believeth shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. We're to believe his word. There's so many that say that this part and that part isn't right. But we are to believe that his word is given. It's given by inspiration. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Isaac Watts said he could make as good hymns as David did. But David said, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." So Isaac Watts claimed to be such a saint. Reverend Wilson put out a pamphlet saying that he was an Arian and could be proved by his writings. So we can speak seemingly great words, great and glorious things, but unless that they are sent by the Spirit of God, unless God puts them in our hearts and writes them in our minds. And then he will write it in our hearts and engrave it on our minds, so that we need to seek for grace, for more grace, and to walk uprightly before him. Then let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, how we are in thy hand as the clay is in the hand of the potter, to do with us whatsoever pleaseth thee. But do thou, we pray thee, make us vessels unto honor. For the potter hath power of the clay to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. So it is in thy hand, and it is thy grace alone that can make us to differ from others. If thou dost give us grace to walk in the way of thy commandments, do thou strengthen us for work and for warfare, for we have abundant work to do. We have need to walk uprightly before thee. And thou hast told us that he that walketh uprightly walketh surely. Do thou strengthen us for work and for warfare. In this evil day, when the love of so many doth wax cold, when iniquity doth so much abound in the earth, we have need to ask of thee to give us gold tried in the fire, that we may be rich, white raiment, that we may be clothed, and that our spiritual nakedness may be covered. So do thou, O Lord, work in our hearts, quicken us for the life now, that we may walk in the life, in the way to eternal and everlasting life. Do thou be with us and work and quicken in our hearts to draw us unto thyself. Do thou dismiss us with thy blessing, accompany us to our respective places of abode. It is thy blessing that we need, and do thou bless us and keep us in the pathway of duty. For we are so prone to turn aside and wander in ways that are not good. Do thou dismiss us each one and bless us and give us strength to walk in the way of thy commandments. Hear our prayers and forgive our many sins, and be with us throughout the remainder of this Sabbath day and throughout the journey of life, whether it be long or short. And hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Jeremy Kerr again in 2013. The next segment of the recording from 1958 includes the congregational singing of the last five verses from Psalm 103. In part one of this recording, an introduction to psalm singing explained the practice of lining psalms still in use in the North Union congregation in 1958. As in the first part of the recording, we will here provide both the original singing of the psalm as lined by Mr. David L. Hartzell and sung by the North Union congregation, and then also a re-recorded singing of the same psalm by the Kerr family at the present day in 2013. The Kerr family re-record will again break all of the psalm lining into single lines, as psalm singers past and present have found beneficial for the sake of small children. Our family was still recovering health after a winter cold when the recording was made, but we hope the listener will find the example helpful to get an understanding of the historic practice of singing psalms in congregations and families, and to put the same in practice to the glory of God and nourishment of souls wherever it is not already so.
Just keep his Just commandments that they may them obey. The Lord prepared you as a stone in heaven firm to stand.
Yeah.
Psalm 103, verses 18 through 22, to the tune New Britain. Na da 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 di da di da di da 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 di da la da 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 di da 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 di da. Verse 18. To such as keep his covenant.
To such as keep his covenant.
And mindful are alway.
And mindful are alway.
Of his most just commandments.
Of his most just commandments.
So they may them obey.
That they may them obey.
The Lord prepared the house of stone.
The Lord prepared hath his throne.
In heaven firm to stand.
In heaven's firm to stand.
And everything is being as.
And
command.
His kingdom doth command.
For ye his angels that excel in
For ye his angels that excel.
In strength bless ye the Lord.
In strength bless ye the Lord.
To ye who obey what he commands.
Ye who
hearken to his word.
And hearken to his word.
Oh, bless and magnify the Lord.
Oh, bless and magnify the Lord.
Ye glorious hosts of his.
Ye glorious hosts of his.
Ye ministers that do fulfill. Pleasure is.
Whatever his pleasure is.
Oh, bless the Lord, all ye his works.
Oh, bless the Lord, all ye his works.
For with the world is stored.
Wherewith the world is stored.
In his dominion everywhere.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Preaching may be expected 2 weeks from today.